I want to be especially appreciative to Brother Gary and the leadership for having the confidence in me to bring a lesson this evening. And if you're visiting with us, you are most welcome here tonight.
Amen.
I pray that something we said or done that will prick your heart to want to know more about Christ and his church.
Amen.
We would like to study with you and show you from the Bible why we believe and practice what we do.
Amen.
We still believe in speaking where the Bible speaks and being silent where the Bible is silent.
Amen.
Calling the Bible things by Bible names and doing Bible things in Bible ways.
Amen.
On this evening, I want to speak briefly about our great God of heaven. I've entitled this lesson, Remember Not to Forget.
Right.
Remember not to forget.
Amen.
Now I'll be speaking about remembering not to forget, first of all, what God has done, and secondly, that we are God's chosen ones. Now, if you're anything like me, you tend to forget things from time to time.
Yeah.
They just slip your mind.
Yeah.
I mean, but for some reason, it seems more so with men than with women.
Yeah.
You know, sisters, y'all just don't forget nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, my wife, she's always bringing up something way in the past. And, you know, Sonia has details. She can remember where we were, what the date was, what time it was, what I said, what I was wearing. And I have no idea how she does that. I can't figure that out. But it never ceases to amaze me, too, how some people have the remarkable ability to remember things that happened in the past. And now I'm not talking about memorization. I mean, like things that happened in their early childhood, like when they were maybe 4 or 5 years old.
Wow.
Things that happened in grade school, even as far as kindergarten or first grade. For instance, how far back do you remember?
Not too far.
How far back can you remember? By a show of hands real quick, raise your hand if you can remember your kindergarten or first grade teacher's name. Wow. How do y'all do that? How can y'all remember that? I mean, that was years ago. And for some of us, that was many years ago. But some folks, they can remember intricate details like what happened in life or some special event that took place a long time ago. I don't understand it because I can hardly remember what I had 2 days ago to eat. So I know that it's just natural to forget some things.
Yeah.
And even more so if you're busy or if your attention is distracted in some kind of way. And then there's some things that we just ought to forget.
Amen.
You know, like things we regret or hurtful relationships and situations that may have left scars with us.
Right.
And things and people that keep us stuck in the past.
Uh-huh.
I often say that we should treat the past like the rearview mirror when we're driving. You don't want to spend too much time looking in that rear mirror. If we're on this highway of life and we're traveling at 70, 75 miles an hour, how much time do you want to spend looking in that mirror? There's a reason why this only one glass is only this big and another glass is this big. It's because we're supposed to be putting more attention on what's in front of us than what's behind us. So we don't want to spend too much time looking behind us, because if we do, then something is bound to happen. Now, there are also some things that we need to forget.
Amen.
We need to let them go.
Right.
Just leave them in the past and move on. Am I right?
Amen.
Now, with that being said, there are some things that God wants us to remember,
right,
and there are some things that God wants us to forget.
All right.
Now, first off, we want to remember not to forget what God has done.
Oh, yeah.
Now, God is fully aware of this human tendency that we have to forget things. He has experienced all too well with the children of Israel. They repeatedly forgot about God. They forgot about what he did for them and what he commanded them to do.
Right.
In Judges chapter 8, verse 34, it says, "And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side." They had just forgotten about God. And then there were numerous attempts made by Moses to warn the people about forgetting about God. But those warnings, they fell on deaf ears. They had forgotten all that they had witnessed firsthand that God had done for them. Moses had also told them in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and also in chapter 14, verse 2. He says, "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth." Now, from my studies, I could tell that God really, really, really loved Israel. They were his chosen people, and he made them this special treasure. But I'm still trying to figure out why they couldn't get that. Why didn't they understand that? Because, see, we can remember how God had delivered his chosen people out of the hands of Pharaoh.
Right.
But Israel forgot how it was God who caused the plagues to come and hardened Pharaoh's heart.
Right.
They forgot how they were scared to death when Pharaoh was on their tracks chasing them.
Yes,
they forgot. Now, we don't have time to go through all the story, but if you reread Exodus 14, you'll see what I'm talking about.
Amen.
See, Moses had led them to the edge of the Red Sea.
Yeah.
And when he got there, he said, "Fear not,
yeah.
Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yeah.
The Lord shall fight for you."
Yeah.
And then Moses did what God said.
Yeah.
He lifted up his rod and he stretched his hand
yeah.
and he parted the Red Sea and made an HOV lane for them.
Yeah.
And they walked across on dry ground.
Amen.
When they got to the other side, they looked back
Amen.
And they saw Pharaoh's army
yeah.
drowned in the Red Sea. Somebody help me understand. How could you forget that? It burns me. How can you forget that? But we can remember how they were 40 years. 40 years wandering in the wilderness and God provided for them. God gave them manna and quail from heaven. He gave them water from a rock. Their clothes and their sandals never wore out. That's God right there. I don't understand how they can forget that. Listen. They saw God do great things. They saw God do great things on their behalf. But by the time Moses comes down from that mountain, they had already forgotten about God. And they had already violated the first two commandments with that golden calf.
Yeah. Amen.
Over in Exodus chapter 20, verse number 2. God said, "I'm the Lord thy God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me, and you shall not make for yourself an idol." Now, I know that that's Old Testament, and he's talking to the children of Israel. But verses 3 and 4, they still apply to us today.
Amen.
In Matthew chapter 4, verse number 10, Jesus said, "Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve."
Amen.
The question is, here's the question, y'all. Do we have a golden calf? Do we have a golden calf? Because before we can look sideways at the children of Israel, this type of thing still happens today.
Amen.
Do we have any idols? A car, a house, clothes, money, Facebook, Instagram, loved ones, work, or whatever. Is there anything that we are putting in front of God?
Yeah.
Our God is a jealous God.
Amen.
So we can't have anything before him. Amen?
Amen.
But for some reason, Israel, they just had to do exactly what God told them not to do. They made for themselves an idol. And I don't know how they could not remember what God has said. Moses told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 19. He said, "And it shall come about, if you ever forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve and worship them, I testify against you today that you shall surely perish." But that isn't that something, because that's exactly what they did. After being shown all that goodness and grace of God, they turned their backs on God. Church, we cannot be like the children of Israel. We cannot afford to forget what God has done in our lives.
Amen.
Some people will find themselves. They'll find themselves in situations that only God can fix.
Right.
And as soon as he helps them out, as soon as he delivers them, they want to forget about God and worship.
Amen.
See if this sounds familiar. "Lord, if you just get me out of this one. If you bless me with this, or bless me with that, I'm going to serve you real good." And then the Lord blesses him, because we serve a good God.
Amen.
Yes, we do. And he loves us.
Yes.
But then what happens? They might pull a Houdini and disappear until God is needed again. As soon as we get a little money, we start driving different, dressing different, living different. And there's nothing wrong with that, unless we go to thinking that that's something that we're doing.
Well,
and forget about God.
That's it.
I don't know about you, but I can't let that be me. I know my story. I remember when I didn't have a pot to you know what in, nor a window. It was nothing but God who brought me out. Church, I'm telling you, by his grace, I'm living my blessed life. I can see the good, church. I can't complain because I know it wasn't me who got me here. I can only give God that praise. I see businessmen who go from being stressed out because their business is going broke and then turn around and it's blessed. And then they get to thinking that that was them. But that wasn't them. That was God. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18, it says, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you power to get wealth." I see the same thing happen with sick folk. They're healed not only to not appreciate how it was God who did what the doctor said they couldn't do. When the doctor said, "You better go ahead and call the family in because it doesn't look too good." But see, Isaiah said this about Christ in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 5. He says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisements of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." Then Jeremiah said in chapter 30, verse number 17, he said, God said this about Israel. He said, "For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of the wounds, saith the Lord." Church, we don't want to be misled by what we see on TV or when we hear men telling people to partner with me, sow a seed into my ministry, or touch the TV while I pray for your healing and then send me a check. I even heard it advertised on religious programming last week. I'm on my way to work and I'm listening. I heard it advertised, "Come out to our healing meeting. We having a healing meeting. Come and see where a man was raised after being dead for 30 minutes. That caught my attention. After being dead for 30 minutes. Y'all know God does not operate like that. Not that he can't raise the dead, because he can do that. But there's not a man who can do that. That's God's job. Only God can do that.
Amen.
So let's always remember not to forget what God has done.
Amen.
Now, we also want to remember not to forget God's love for us.
Amen.
God, through Moses, had given the children of Israel commandments. And the fourth one said, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." That's the day God has set aside for remembrance, the day of worship. Acts chapter 20, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. It shows us that the day of worship is not the last day of the week. It's the first day of the week. There are 7 days in a week, 168 hours, 10,080 minutes, 604,800 seconds. God is only asking us for only a fraction of all that time on the day that he declared for worship for us to come together and remember. All the rest of that time, you can do with what you will. But we want to come together and use these few hours on the first day of the week to recognize the goodness of God and to remember what his son did on our behalf. God wants us to remember, not to forget, just how much he loves us. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God wants us to remember, not to forget, that he gave his son. Every time we take communion, it's done in remembrance of how he gave his son and his son gave his life.
Uh-huh.
Now watch this. I grew up Baptist. My mama drugged me. She drugged me to everything. We went to Sunday school, 3 o'clock worship, 6 o'clock worship, week long the revivals, teachers meeting, usher board meetings, on and on. Funerals. We went to more funerals than I took communion. Communion was only on the first Sunday night of the week. I mean, of the month. But at these funerals, see, they would put the caskets on top of the table. And the same inscription that you see there was on that table. And I thought the message was intended for the deceased. But it wasn't until I became a Christian and obedient to the scriptures. Acts 20 and 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 23 through 29. It wasn't until then that it clicked. That inscription that they put down there is not for in remembrance of who's in the casket.
Yeah.
This do in remembrance is for what Christ did on that old rugged cross.
Amen.
Paul said in Romans chapter 5, Amen. Verse number 8, he said, God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
Much more then, having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him.
Yes.
We ought to take the time to remember how God loved us so much that he sacrificed his son for our sins. Only the blood of Christ could pay for our sins. Now we look at John chapter 15, verse number 13. It says, Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. Thank you, Jesus. What a friend that we have in Jesus to lay down his life, to be innocent and then lied on, spit on, beat on, and then hang and die on that cross. He did that for you. He did that for me.
Amen.
He laid down his life for us. Every Lord's Day, time is set aside for us to remember just how much God loved us. Also, let us remember not to forget. He chose us to love.
Amen.
He chose us to love. When Jesus laid down his life, he laid it down for the whole world, but especially for those who would become Christians.
Amen.
The chosen people of God today are Christians.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, we are a chosen generation.
Yeah.
There it is.
That's it.
A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light.
Amen.
He chose us, and he chose us just to show how much he loved us.
Amen.
As we go forward, one way that we can remember not to forget that God chose us is to show love in return.
Amen. Right.
Now, we can do that by showing love return is to, number one, be obedient to God.
Amen.
Number two, be obedient to our Savior Jesus Christ. And number three, loving our neighbors.
Amen.
The question was asked in Luke chapter 10, verse 25 and following. It said, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? But in verse 27, Jesus answered, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself.
Amen.
1 John 4:11 said, beloved. 1 John 4:11 says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. Loving each other and our neighbors is commanded for us to show just how much we truly love God. And then Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And to keep these commandments is to remember not to forget God's word. Israel, they didn't just forget what God had done. They have forgotten his words, too. As Christians, we don't want to be forgetful like the children of Israel. We want to remember not to forget God's word. And we have the Holy Spirit to help us do that. In Psalms 119:11, it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And then Joshua said in chapter 1, verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written there. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success.
Amen.
So in closing, we want to remember not to forget what God has done for us. Now, if we're thankful, that's not a word. If we're thankful, I'm going to use thankful. I made that up, y'all. If we're thankful, if we think long enough, we can come up with something that we can be thankful for.
Amen.
And lastly, we want to remember not to forget God chose us to love. So I want to thank you this evening for listening. I appreciate your attention, and may God continue to bless us. Now, if you're not a Christian, it's our desire, our love, that you would be one. You can become a Christian tonight by the way that the Bible teaches, not by what you hear from man. First, you must hear the word. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then you must believe in what you've heard. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But then the Bible also teaches that becoming a Christian, one requires repentance. Luke 13:3 and verse 5. Jesus says, I tell you, nay, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then one must make the confession that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In Acts chapter 8, verse 37, the eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." After confession, then one must be baptized in water for the remission of their sins. Acts 22:16, Paul was told to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you're already a Christian and desire prayer, if something is on your heart, come and receive prayer. While the brother prays, the church is praying with you too.
Amen.
James 5:16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another."
Amen.
"That you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." If you want to be baptized or you need prayer, please come as together we stand and sing.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh, haste to him.